From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Each message is devoted to an entire book and will provide you with a summary of the purpose, the doctrines, and the applications of the book to the Christian life. With this program, he begins an overview of Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Whether or not the Apostle Paul personally founded the church at Colossae, the evidence is that it was a thriving Christian assembly. However, that church was in danger of being infected by a strange philosophy that claimed superior knowledge, which consisted of a mix of legalism, mysticism, and asceticism. Paul wrote this epistle to combat the danger by calling the attention of the Colossian believers to the fullness which is in Christ. His central theme is the person of Jesus Christ and the relationship which he sustains to his people. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence this study of Colossians under the title, The Fullness of Christ. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Losses Overcome. The text is found in Joel chapter 2, verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Yes, those wasted years over which we sigh shall be restored to us. God can give us such plentiful grace that we shall crowd into the remainder of our days as much of service as will be some recompense for those years of unregeneracy over which we mourn in humble penitence. The locusts of backsliding, worldliness, lukewarmness are now viewed by us as a terrible plague. Oh, that they had never come near us! The Lord in mercy has now taken them away, and we are full of zeal to serve Him. Blessed be His name, we can raise such harvests of spiritual graces as shall make our former barrenness to disappear. Through rich grace we can turn to account our bitter experience and use it to warn others. We can become the more rooted in humility, childlike dependence, and penitent spirituality by reason of our former shortcomings. If we are the more watchful, zealous, and tender, we shall gain by our lamentable losses. The wasted years, by a miracle of love, can be restored. Does it seem too great a boon? Let us believe for it and live for it, and we may yet realize it. Even as Peter became all the more useful a man after his presumption was cured by his discovered weakness. Lord, aid us by thy grace.
Now ashamed when boldness pursued the approval of Christ in all that you do. Proclaim his great word, be consumed in his love, pursue him alone until with him above.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Now we're turning to the epistle to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're continuing to have a look at each of the epistles in one message, having a look at the main theme, the message of each epistle. We read a few verses in Colossians chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. I suppose if one text could sum up the message of the entire epistle to the Colossians, it would have to be chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This is one of the few occasions when you can take an entire book and, I think, encapsulate just about every major feature of its message in a single text. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Let me read that again, only this time. Let me substitute for the verb complete the very simple literal rendering of the verb, which is really a repetition of the thought in the previous verse. It says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are filled full in him, which is the head of all principality and power. There's quite a bit of mystery surrounding the establishment of the church in the city of Colossae. It is quite possible that up to this point the Apostle Paul had never personally visited that city, though it is equally possible that he had paid a very brief visit. However that may be, it appears that the church had as its minister a man by the name of Epaphras, who was undoubtedly greatly aided in his work by others of the caliber of Philemon, to whom Paul addressed a very brief epistle that we'll look at in due course. That's the one that Dr. Barrett thinks I may be able to keep to the length of one tape. We'll see when we get there. Epaphras, then, was the minister through whom this church was, as Paul says, made steadfast in the faith and well ordered. Epaphras came to the city of Rome, where Paul was in prison, to raise with him certain questions, because the converted pagans who made up this church in Colossae were evidently being threatened. It's not quite clear whether at this point the threat had actually entered the church or whether it was still from the outside. It was, however, sufficiently near and sufficiently strong for Epaphras to seek from Paul, and through Paul, really, from the Lord, an infallible answer as to how this threat should be repulsed. It appears that a strange, mixed-up philosophy was seeking to bring these converted pagans into bondage. There's been a lot of scholarly debate as to the particular philosophy that was threatening the church in Colossae. Hundreds, I would say, indeed thousands of pages have been written giving one answer, one argument and its answer. One scholar saying this and the other saying that. And at the end of it all, one has to admit that to this point in time, men have not been able fully, satisfactorily, to identify exactly the philosophy, the danger that was threatening this church. We can, from the scriptures here, make certain things clear. I think that basically it was a Judaistic attack. We find this going through almost all the epistles, and certainly here we find that Judaizers or Jews, there's a difference of opinion as to whether these were Christian Jews or non-Christian Jews, but certainly they were coming against these newly converted pagans. And in the usual manner of the Judaizers, they were seeking to make them understand that they were inferior and that they couldn't really be right with God until they submitted to circumcision, and with that the entire legal setup of the Jewish people. It also appears that these heretics, or these threats to the work of God, included some very mystical elements. Later in this second chapter, we read of a show of wisdom and the worship of angels and will worship and things like that. Now, the worship of angels is a very difficult thing to understand. There's no record at all of the Jews as a people ever worshiping angels. One of the great commentators, Lightfoot, believed that the Essenes had some sort of angel worship, but I'm not sure that there's any evidence that the Essenes ever traveled as far as Colossae. So, does it mean that these people actually began to worship angels? Or, as some people think, and I think there's a lot of truth in this, these people were so super spiritual that they in some mystical way claimed some superior knowledge, some superior spirituality. And they claimed that they actually partook in some mystical way of the lowliness and the worship which the angels offered unto Jehovah. However that may be, these people came setting strict standards of asceticism. Touch not, handle not, taste not. They were withdrawing from the world. They were what we would call monkish in their so-called standards of holiness. And they were claiming that they had the real knowledge. You people say you're saved, you know Christ, you know your sins forgiven, but we have the real knowledge. We have the deep inside knowledge. We have the spiritual knowledge. You have yet to attain to that. We also have this angelic type of holiness. We have a superior holiness. This is what they were seeking to impose upon the believers at Colossae. Now the Apostle Paul immediately recognized the danger of this Christless philosophy, and he immediately saw through its spurious holiness. He was not for a moment taken in by the outward show of superior piety. He was not intimidated by their claims of great knowledge. A man who had been with God as he had, a man who had been exalted to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, he couldn't tell. A man who had seen and heard such things as were actually unlawful to speak about, was not going to be impressed by the foolish tittle-tattle of these little pygmy brains who came along to impose themselves and their philosophy and their religion upon the new converts in Colossae. So Paul wrote this epistle to the church there. Now, in writing it, his central theme was the person of Jesus Christ and the relationship which he sustains to his people. It's as if Paul were saying to the Colossian Christians, look, follow me in this one thing. Grasp who Christ is. Understand your relationship with Christ. Just grasp that. And you will never need a deeper or a higher knowledge. And you will never need a deeper or a higher holiness. I think you know that for that reason, Colossians presents a very timely message for today. You see, once again, philosophy has entered the church and indeed has largely replaced theology. We read today in chapter 2, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. That's an ever-present warning. Literally, Paul is saying there, beware lest any man make a spoil of you or make you his prey through his philosophy, namely his vain deceit. You think of this in the context of the modern church. We have today in many branches of Christendom, I'm sad to say especially in many branches of the Reformed Church, we have an intellectualism that obscures, that seems to outstrip, and certainly appears to be ashamed of the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I tell you that an intellectualism that is ashamed of the gospel of Christ is not light, it is darkness. It will make a spoil of you. It is a vain deceit, and it will rob you and defraud you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, You may have a copy free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.